see what the lessons we can learn from it about cultivating a thankful heart. I want you to listen to the psalmist. Here's what he says. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know the Lord is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Psalmist, you can see here, was filled with praise, wasn't he? Filled with adoration for such an amazing God we have to serve. I believe we are a people and a nation that has been truly blessed by God over the years. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, don't we? It's so easy to forget all that kind of thing because of all of the various things that fall on our plate. However, there is no better time to be reminded of God's goodness than here on Thanksgiving Sunday. It's not uncommon to compile wish lists at Christmas, then to draw up a list of resolutions at the beginning of a new year. But there's another list that's often overlooked. Do you ever take the time on Thanksgiving weekend to just make a list of all the things that you are truly thankful for? A portion of Psalm 103 was read just before the message. It's another psalm that reveals a heart filled to the brim and overflowing with thanksgiving to Almighty God. I found an interesting list that was compiled of several housewives of things that they were thankful for. You may find several of them a little bit amusing. But here's the list that they compiled. They said that they were thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for them to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. They were also thankful for husbands who attach small repair jobs around the house, because they usually make them big enough to eventually call in the professionals. They were thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy. They hate to see them go home to their parents. And they were thankful for smoke alarms, because the smoke alarm let them know when the turkey was done. Here's some food for thought, though, from another person's thankful list. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I am employed. I'm thankful for clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, and gutters that need cleaning, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill, because it means I kept warm. I'm thankful for piles of laundry, because it means I have loved ones nearby. You see, our list might not include all of those same things. But probably, if you're like me, your list will go way beyond material possessions. My list includes things like health, family and friends, and the nation we live in despite all of its problems and despite all of its flaws. But most of all, I'm thankful for my salvation. When as a young boy I came to Jesus Christ in true repentance, and received his forgiveness for all of my sin. That isn't part of your Thanksgiving list. It can be. God's love was poured out for all of us when he sent his Son to die on that horrible cross to take the punishment for our sins. We experience personal salvation when we come to him individually and acknowledge we are sinners needing to be saved. What a wonderful day to do that if you haven't taken that step already. There's nothing greater in our lives than that we could ever be thankful for more than to have that relationship with the true and the living God. When that happens, we have meaning and purpose to our lives in this life, peace of knowing where we will spend eternity in that glorious and wonderful place called heaven. Because of Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. Nevertheless, we can still have various reasons that can make it difficult to feel thankful. Life at times can be hard. If that's how you feel this morning, I want to remind you of something to think about on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Did you know that no Canadians were more underprivileged than those who landed in Newfoundland back in 1578? They were Sir Martin Frobisher and his crew of Europeans, the first ones to land here in North America. They were the ones who started the custom, you see, of setting aside a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. To celebrate, they ate a meal of salt beef and biscuits and very mushy peas. They also celebrated communion and formally expressed their thanks through the ship's chaplain, Robert Wolfolk. They were thankful for a safe voyage across the great Atlantic Ocean. But on one hand, they would have had good reason, you see, not to be thankful. When they arrived, they had no permanent homes. They had no government agency to help them with the building of their home should that have been needed. They had no means of transportation but their legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to get it all by themselves. They had no money. No place to spend it if they had any money. They had no amusement except what they made for themselves. They had no means of communication with their relatives way back in England. They also had no Social Security or Medicare. But anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would probably have ended up in the stocks. They did have four of the greatest God-given human aspects. You know what they were? They had initiative. They had courage. They had a willingness to work. And they had boundless faith in God. They were the kind of people who first landed in our fair country of Canada. Thanksgiving was first observed as an annual event in Canada on November the 6th, 1879. This holiday occurred as late as in the year as December the 6th, and even coincides several times with the American Thanksgiving in November. Beginning in 1921, Thanksgiving and Armistice Day, introduced in 1919, celebrated on the same day. In order to give more recognition to veterans, however, November the 11th was set solely as Remembrance Day in 1931. But it was not until January 31st, 1957, that Parliament proclaimed the observance of Thanksgiving to be the second Monday in October. It was set aside, and I quote the actual wording from Parliament. It's itself, to be a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Now, a typical Thanksgiving feast across Canada features the uniquely North American turkey, squash, and pumpkin. That was first introduced in Nova Scotia in the 1750s, but since that time there have been several differences in the Thanksgiving menu across the provinces. For instance, Jake's dinner is often preferred over turkey in Newfoundland. That meal typically consists of salt beef, salt riblets, boiled together with potatoes, carrots, cabbage, and turnip, or turnip greens. Peas, pudding, and fish duff are cooked in pudding bags, immersed in the rich broth that the meat and the vegetables created. Condiments are likely to include mustard, pickles, pickled beets, cranberry sauce, butter, and a thin gravy made from the drippings of roasted meat. Leftover vegetables from a Jake's dinner are often mixed in a pan and fried to make a dish known as cabbage hash, or corned beef and cabbage hash. And then in British Columbia, at Thanksgiving, one thing that is popular apparently there, what I've heard, is Nyoma bars are a favorite there. And then in Ontario, believe it or not, buttered tarts are a favorite. They're a big hit. My daughter's son, you know, knows how to make buttered tarts. He's made many of them, and she always keeps me supplied with them. Yes, Thanksgiving is a time to celebrate the goodness of God. Our forefathers had a boundless faith in God. That almost sounds strange today, when powerful forces are at work in our nation to strip us of every reminder of the foundation of our nation. The foundation of our nation is the conviction that we are one nation under God. It's interesting to note that Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. You see, it doesn't commemorate a battle. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday or anniversary. It's simply a day set aside to express our nation's thanksgiving to God. So this week, our nation, and in fact, this weekend that we're on right now, our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. One would assume that because of the example of our forefathers, because today we have so much, we would be extremely thankful people. But friends, it's often just the opposite. The more some get, the less thankful they become. The less mindful of God that person becomes, the more that person has and wants. In a certain area of Mexico, apparently there are hot springs and cold springs that are apparently found side by side. Because of the convenience of this natural phenomenon, women there would often bring their laundry. They would boil their clothes in the hot springs and rinse them off in the cold springs. The tourist watching this procedure commented to his Mexican guide. He said, "They must think God is generous to supply such ample clean and hot and cold water." The guide replied, "No, senor. There's much grumbling because he didn't supply soap." Well, I think that the 100th Psalm was written to deal with that kind of attitude. It was written to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. The 100th Psalm was written first for the people of Israel. God said to them, "When you come into the promised land and you settle down to your homes, you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and brought you into the land, flowing with milk and honey." It doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed a reminder. And it is is obvious that from time to time, we need a reminder too. Maybe God had us in mind also when the psalm was written. Because did you notice to whom this psalm is actually addressed? The first verse says that it is addressed to all the earth. All the earth. And the last verse says that it includes all generations. The message of thanksgiving found in these verses, you see, is so deep and so wide that it applies to every person in every era and in every stage of life. It's sad, isn't it, that only we in Canada and the United States have set aside a special day called Thanksgiving Day? I wonder how our world would change if suddenly all nations would begin to observe Thanksgiving. I think there's something about giving thanks together to God that breaks down barriers between people. It's much like that which occurs as the Berlin Wall began to crumble at the end of the Cold War. I think also there is a real danger of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. Is my money in the bank secure? Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether we will be thankful or not. The psalmist says that all of these things may change at any time. They may drift away or burn up or someone may steal them. The only thing we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord if we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. The word Lord is what the 100th Psalm emphasizes. Just scan the psalm itself. Verse 1, you'll find the word Lord. Verse 2, the word Lord. Verse 3, the word Lord. Verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5, you will find the word Lord appears again. You see, the basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. Alex Haley, author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked why it was there, he answered, "Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful, and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help." That's the message of Thanksgiving. It's to remember that we got here with God's help. And that He is the provider of every blessing that you and I receive. Now as we look more carefully at this psalm, we find that there are five commands that are given here in this psalm. The first command is this in verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. That word shout means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. It's a shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of our being. Maybe for you, our Lord has solved a very serious problem you were facing. Maybe He has given you the direction needed at an important juncture in your life. Or maybe He has provided an unexpected blessing, and you realize that that has come down to you from God. So from the depths of your being, you proclaim your praise. I read a story about a certain medical missionary who served in India for many years. There's a region where there was progressive blindness that occurred in that area. Although people were born with healthy vision, there was something that was causing the loss of sight as they grew older. But this missionary had developed a treatment that would stop progressive blindness. So the people came to him for this successful treatment, and they would leave realizing that they would have been completely blind if it hadn't been for him and the medication that he had given them. However, he said that they never said thank you, because that praise was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it inside any longer. From the depths of your being, you express your joy unto Almighty God. You literally shout for joy to the Lord. The second command is found in Psalm 100 is this. Serve the Lord with, how? With gladness. The Bible teaches that if we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, whether inside or outside the church walls here, we are to serve Him with gladness. Do it with a happy heart, because remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Isn't that what Psalm 100 is saying? Whatever you do, serve the Lord, whatever task He's given you to do, serve the Lord with gladness. The third command in Psalm 100 is this. Come before Him with singing. Psalm 98 verse 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see, singing should play an important part in our lives. Have you noticed in these first three commands, God has said, I want you to be happy. Shout with joy. Serve with gladness. Come with joyful songs. The psalmist is saying, come before Him and serve Him and sing His praises with joy from the bottom of your hearts. Command number 4. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Remember, God made us inside and out. He made you special with your very unique gifts, very unique characteristics. He made you the same way. And He has special plans for your life. Whether or not you fulfill His plans for your life will be determined by the degree you are willing to surrender to His will. Where you fail to follow His leading, He's willing to remake you into the vessel that will bring honor and glory to His name. Because sometimes we fail. Sometimes we falter along the way. But God sees that. He still cares. If you're willing to be pliable in the Master's hands, there's no telling what God wants to do in and through your life. It's important to realize, too, that He is not satisfied with the unfinished product. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of your life where you're maybe given to temptation. But He is still willing to work on us to achieve the desired end result. However, it is our choice as to whether or not we will follow His leading and thereby experience His blessing. Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1:3, I thank God every time I remember you. And then in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is your maker, and you were created in His image. Therefore, give Him thanks for who you are. And then in Psalm 100 and verse 3, remember the psalmist says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Well, frankly, most of us want to be shepherds, not sheep. It's not any fun sometimes being a sheep. But the problem is we don't know where the still waters and green pastures are. We try to go it on our own. Every time we go out searching for them, we invariably end up in the far country like the prodigal son in the story that Jesus gave in the New Testament. God is saying, you be the sheep, let me be the shepherd, and I will lead you beside still waters and the green pastures. Just let me lead. Command number 5 is this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. See, in the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew that they had come into the very presence of God. Now that temple no longer exists. Even though the place where we meet to worship God, we sometimes call it the sanctuary, indicating that God is there. But friends, we need to remember that God no longer dwells in a building made with hands. Since the day of Pentecost, God dwells within the lives of born-again believers. The Bible states that our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, God is with you as you drive on the highway. He's with you when you go to your place of employment. He's with you as you care for your children. He's with you every moment of the day and night. That's the source of our thanksgiving. What if God began to treat us like we often treat him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? Of course, that's not the way God operates, is it? A songwriter has spelled it out quite nicely when he penned these words. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known to men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, what does he do? He giveth. Our God, friends, is an awesome God. Let's rejoice. Let's give thanks as we sing our closing hymn this morning. A song that will remind us how good our God is. Let's worship him and praise his name.